Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be back today. Last week we were away on our men's retreat, and we had an awesome time, right, men?
Yes.
We had a great time. We had 15 of us last week, and we were blessed to be on the Rainbow River and just to spend some quality time with God and one another. And I think it certainly has strengthened our men's group as well. So we had a great time, and thank you all for allowing us to be away last weekend as well. Just a few reminders this morning. Don't forget to fill out your Connect cards. They're in your bulletin. That's your registration of your attendance and notes that you'd like to take to the office or myself. So I would encourage you to drop that in the offering plate as it comes around this morning. We had an awesome rummage sale yesterday. We had a rummage sale from the old days with enough stuff over there. I couldn't believe how many items we had, things, and we got rid of most of it, so that was good. And I want to be precise this morning. Barbara said we made $3,220. We split with the United Methodist Women and the United Methodist Men, so that goes towards the ministry and the outreach of each one of those groups. And I want to thank each one of you from the deepest part of my heart for your coming out and helping with that. We had volunteer sign-up sheets each day. We had 28 to 30 people come and help out with that. So thank you very much if you come and help with that. And yesterday's sale and clean up afterwards, it was looking at it afterwards, I was like, are we ever going to get all this stuff put away to church on Sunday? And you know what? We were out of there by about 3 o'clock and the place looked like nothing had ever happened. So we're very grateful for everyone that stuck around and helped clean up yesterday and get our church back ready for service this morning. So thank you all very much for all you've done towards that as well. United Methodist Women are having their spring banquet next Friday. There's information about that in your bulletin as well. Deadline for ticket sales is tomorrow, so they can prepare food and then prepare themselves for that as well. So see someone, read your bulletin there, and tell you to contact the tickets or whatever. So be sure to come out next Friday for the spring banquet as well. Your Holy Week schedule is in your bulletin. We got a lot going on in the life of our church next week. I guess that's next week already. We'll be having a Thursday evening service, a Holy Thursday service, and then we're going to have Stations of the Cross at noon on Friday. So be sure to come out for that. We'll walk our property for those that can't get around that well. All the reading will be done in the sanctuary as well. So be sure to come out and join us for a very powerful service at noon on Friday as well. So Thursday evening at 7 and Friday as well. This Sunday evening at 7 o'clock is our Easter Cantata. And we're praying that everyone will be a good voice and everything. We've sort of had the plague, as you know. The plague has sort of set in about our church a little bit, so we're praying that everyone's voice will be up to par, and that we'll sure have an awesome Easter Cantata next Sunday at 7 p.m. as well. I would like to, I understand last week you all had a very dynamic speaker here, right? Being willing to come and share her story with you is very powerful. I've heard a lot of good comments this week and stories of reconciliation and forgiveness, which that's what it was all about. So we're very happy about that. And I just want to thank Nancy for doing that last week for you. I knew she could do it. She's very reluctant to get up and use her gifts that way. But I'm just thankful that she was willing to do that. So thank you, Nancy. And thank you, Robin, for being worship leader last week. Make her as comfortable as she could be here last week. So thank you, Robin, for that as well. So thank you, Dean, for coming and sharing your story with us last week. I'm ready for church. Are you?
Amen.
Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. If you can join me in the call to worship, please stand if you are able to. God makes a way in the desert. God promises new life in the face of death.
God restores hope for those in despair.
Come, let us journey to worship together. Our opening hymn is "Oh How I Love Jesus." It's in the hymnal number 170, and it'll also be projected.
Thank you.
I totally forgot. That's not right, is it? Destiny's shirt says, pinch me and I'll pinch you back. If you don't have green on, you get pinched, right? It's not yet, right? Okay, I'm still safe then. Good morning. How are you all today? Someone's lost a tooth this morning. And from the sound of the tooth fairy today, I'm going to start knocking my teeth out. Good deal. Now big teeth get to come in, right? Okay, a question for you. What's your most treasured, favorite thing that you have? What is it? Your puppy? Huh? That's a pretty good thing to have. You love your puppy? Think about something. What? Cat, what do you love more than anything itself? Your family. Okay. What we're talking about today, when you know the story of Mary and Martha, and Mary poured out the perfume on Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. You remember that story? Lazarus? That was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the brothers and sisters. Well, when Mary did that, the people there that day thought she was sure extravagant. And she sure wasted them. Because that perfume cost 1 year's wages. That's a lot of money, isn't it? For anybody, 1 year wages is very expensive. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Some of the people were angry with her. Especially Judas. You know who Judas is, right? Judas betrayed Jesus a short time after this. But if we give the most treasured thing we have to Jesus, what does that say about us? That we love him? Are we willing to give our most precious things to him? And you said your family? You know, as parents, and someday when your parents, and you're a parent, and there'll be a time when you have to give your children over to God. Because you've raised them, you've done all you can for them, and what do you have to do finally, parents? You've got to let them go, don't you? You hope you've done a pretty good job raising them. But that's your most treasured gift. You give them to God. So, we're talking today about Mary and her gift. To some, it seemed very wasteful that she just poured out perfume on the feet of Jesus and just spilled onto the floor and it was gone and wasted. Judas said, hey, we could have sold that and given the money to the poor. But that's not really what he wanted. Why? Do you know the rest of that story? Because Judas took care of the money and he wanted to steal the money. If that money would have went into the money pouch for the disciples, he would have got to take some of it out for himself. So when he said, oh, we could have given it to the poor, he really meant, oh, we could have given it to poor old Judas. So when we give things that are treasured to us to God, we are trusting God, right? Mary trusted God that day. So when we give things that we love to God, that means we have to feel in our heart that we trust God with what we're giving. And you'll understand that more as your life goes on. And there's times in your life when you can't do anything about a situation. And you just give it up to God. God, here it is. Help me through this. And he will. God is always there for you and always there listening with you and traveling your road with you. Does that make you feel good? It does me. But you know what? The older you get, we find out a lot of things are out of our control, aren't they?
Amen.
We find ourselves not in so much control as we'd like to be. So that's our lesson today. Let's pray. Gracious God, when we give up the most treasured thing you've given us, that is us saying we love you, we trust you, and we give all that we are to you, as Mary did on that day. Father, we love you. Bless these children. Bless these young people. And just bless each one of us, Lord, into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. I think we're off to Sunday school this morning. Cool. before the Lord in prayer. And trust me when I tell you, the plague has set in among our church. So be sure you wash your hands and probably no hugging today in church. I don't know what stage some of us are in. I'm not sick, thank goodness. I'm not sick. But there are many here in our congregation who are suffering with the flu and the cold like something as well. So these folks we want to lift up today and keep them in your prayers throughout the week. Of course, the prayer list is in your bulletin. Let that be your baseline of prayer for the requests that are in there each week as well. But lift these people up this week. George Brennenstall, he's had some breathing issues and some little bit of illness. Randall, the brother of Emma Horrock, he's suffering from some diabetic complications and doing a little bit better, Emma told me. So lift up Randall as well, and Emma as well, but she's been a little under the weather in the first part of the week as well. Mary Ann Heal is suffering with back issues and some different things. Mary Ann Davis as well. Shirley Turner as well has been sick. Kat and Whitney Chanel have been under the weather. Larry Koosman, I talked to Larry this morning, he's had the flu as well. Lois Mahoney, Peter Alfieri, Bill Taylor had been sick. Good to see you back, Bill. Bill had to miss the men's retreat because he wasn't feeling well, so as well. And Marty Hartman also has had a touch of the flu as well. Sally Chanel is having a bout of vertigo right now, so keep Sally in your prayers. Just our congregation and friends who are struggling with diseases and illnesses from David. A friend in the hospital. You remembered us praying for Kevin Howard, who's a young man Nancy and I knew from United Methodist Church in Palm Beaches, 33 years old, and Kevin passed away this Thursday. So we're just lifting up the Howard family and Kevin. We know Kevin had been suffering for years with some heart issues and different things, but Kevin has a new body today, and we're rejoicing in that, but also grieving with his family. The funeral will be tomorrow at UNCPB. We had a praise for our men's retreat. We had a great time, and just the fellowship that was shared there, and our spiritual growth that all of us men experienced that day as well. Michael Garrett is leaving. Yesterday was Michael's last swan song here for a while. Michael is going away to drive a truck across country, so he's probably taking off right now as we speak, headed for Lakeland for some orientation. But we prayed for him and just laid hands on him yesterday as we were finishing up. But just keep Michael and Evelyn in your prayers and their children, because he suspects he's going to be gone for 2 or 3 months before he's even back here. So that to me is sort of strange. But just keep Michael for safe travel and for this job to be really what he's looking for, and a good thing for him as well. We do have folks traveling. Kate is going to be traveling out to see her sister's family tomorrow. So keep Kate in your prayers. And I know others are starting to go back now. We have some of our northerners be heading back this week as well. So just keep them in your prayers. I know there's things you brought with you this morning that need to go to the cross. So join me now as we pray this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to come into your church, into your house of worship this morning, and to share in this spiritual fellowship with you. Father, today as we gather to partake of Holy Communion, we once again remember our connectedness to you. Remembering how you have reached out for us. And even when we've struggled to reject and just to turn away from you, Father, you're always there for us. Father, today we're praying for reconciliation and forgiveness in relationships. As Nancy's message last week spoke about how we forgive and what it's like to be forgiven. Father, we pray today that those relationships will continue to mend, continue to grow closer to you. Father, we just pray lives would be changed. Father, today we're lifting up all of those in our midst that are sick. As we hear the coughing going on around us, Lord, we know that they are here because they love you. And the ones that are too sick to be here today, Lord, we pray an anointed blessing upon them. Each of the names read and those that have gone unspoken today, Lord, I pray healing upon them. That the Holy Spirit would come and involve them. That they would be made full and healed once again. Father, thank you for the promise. The promise that we'll read about in Scripture today of Mary giving it all up for you. Father, I pray that each one of us can do the same. That we will not hold back. That we will give ourselves freely and totally to you. That we would feel your anointed Spirit upon us. Father, today we pray for one another. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our community. Father, I pray for our election process that's undergoing right now. Father, may a sense of calm and peace come over this process. May the right person rise to the top. May the right person lead our country back to you, Father. Father, where we've struggled is because we've turned from you as a nation. Father, today I pray that hearts would be changed, that hearts would be guided, that they would come and seek discernment in you. Father, thank you for our country, our nation, and the leaders and people that step forward to lead us. We pray that they would call on you first. Father, we love you. We've come together today to celebrate your Son Jesus, his commitment to us, and in turn, our commitment to you. Father, we love you. We give you the praise of all that we do. In the name of our Holy Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you. God, bless our offering this morning. Use it for the greater kingdom. Father, we love you and we give willingly back to your church and your community. Father, we love you and seek your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. scripture this morning comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And it is the story that I told the kids about. And it's Mary. We're going to look at that story a little closer today about some thinking it was extravagant beyond need, something wasteful. Or was it Mary showing Christ what she really thought and felt about him? So hear these words from John. If you're able to stand for the reading of the word this morning, please do. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount of almost 3/4 pound of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would have taken what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Let's pray. Father God, as Jesus spoke on that day, he was not to be with them much longer. Father, let us live our lives as you are about to return to us. Father, we love you. We pray a blessing and anointing upon these words and upon this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today is calling us to look forward. Looking forward to what was about to happen to Jesus. It wasn't having us look back. It was having us look forward to the future. Many things were said in John here about what is to come. The future. God's future. He wasn't focusing on the past. He was focusing on the new things about to come about. We know that his eyes were turned toward the cross at this point. He knew what lies ahead. Jesus was giving himself up for us. You know, this story in John comes to us as a story of extravagance. Have you ever been criticized for giving a too valuable of a gift? Wasteful. Mary was being accused of being wasteful. And what did Jesus say to straighten them out? "You will have the poor with you forever, but I am only with you for a short time." Do you think they got it? I'm sure there were some mumbling and grumblings in the crowd there saying, "What has she done?" But what this is implicating to us is something bigger was about to happen. Mary was anointing Jesus' body for burial before he even died. Do you see the parallel here as well as Jesus washing the disciples' feet? You know us as being well educated in the Bible, and we know the Bible story and the history of the Bible. We sure seem to know a lot about what's going on here, don't we? But those poor folks were still wondering what's happening with Jesus. They were still thinking he was going to take the throne. The disciples were still arguing. "I want to sit at his right hand. No, I want to be at his right hand. I'm the best. Who's the greatest?" This past week in our Bible study, that was the argument. Who's the greatest? They were still fighting over who was going to sit at the right hand of the king when he took the throne. Well, Mary must have had some insight into what was going to happen. Why else would she be so extravagant? Why was her love so extravagant? Have you ever loved? love something that much or someone? That's powerful love. That is powerful love. You know, Lazarus had just been brought back from the dead in chapter 11. We get the story of Lazarus dying and Jesus coming and raising him from the dead. So the three of them decided to throw Jesus a party. But there was deeper meaning in that, wasn't there, obviously? This is the most unusual story, a radical story. Because Mary is taking center stage. What was a woman's place in those days? Not that any of us men think that way today, but what was a woman's role in those days? She should be in the kitchen, preparing the food, taking care of things out there. The men were the center stage. What did Mary do that day that really was radical, was really, there again, extravagant for the role of a woman? She took center stage that day. She came, she knelt at the feet of Jesus, she took out nearly 3/4 of a pound. Can you imagine what that was like? Now, I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit allergic to perfume. If you open up, somebody comes in the room with some strong perfume on, I'm like instant headache. I wonder that day, that perfume was used for burial purposes. You know how it went. When the body was decomposing, they had to do something to get rid of the stench. Those perfumes, those things were what they used of the day to make it at least tolerable. But can you imagine what it smelled like in that house that day? Imagine it. Probably some of those people had never smelled perfume that way. That was extravagant. And Mary was the one doing it. That's not right, folks. What's she doing out here? Now you can hear Martha in the background, right? Why don't she get in here and help me? How come she's not? How many Marthas in the house? That's today's woman. Not many Marthas in the house. Okay. Wow. So you're all Marys, huh? You're Marys? Now you've got to be pondering as a pastor, where are you all coming from? I see a lot of you as Marthas. You're just trying to pull my leg today. But Martha was the one doing the things behind the scenes. Mary said, I'm going out front. I'm taking this perfume and I'm pouring it all over Jesus' feet. And I'm going to wipe his feet with my hair. What greater act of submission is there than that? And it wouldn't be long before Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. See the correlation here? Have you ever thought about it like that? These two stories being connected in this way? That's pretty amazing. Mary must have not had any respect for herself. Or for Jesus, for that matter. How dare you, Mary, dishonoring Jesus like that? You know, I like it in these stories, and there's several in the Bible, where Jesus really reprimands them for their way of thinking, doesn't he? Was Jesus a progressive man? Was he thinking differently outside of the box?
Amen.
I think he was. There's probably a lot of complaints, 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 complaints. People didn't understand the motives behind Mary's actions. Do we ever question what others do out of acts of love for others? You ever been accused of spoiling someone? Giving them something they don't deserve? Have you ever been accused of being extravagant to the point of wastefulness? I do believe we can still suffer from those things today. But when it's something to honor God and to show our love for God or love for one another in a Christ-like way, that is powerful. It's radical today. Do we still see those acts today as radical? We certainly do sometimes, don't we? We see them as out of the ordinary. Looked up the definition of extravagance. Spending more money than you can afford or spending foolishly, carelessly, or wastefully. Using too much of anything involving expense. Going beyond what is reasonable, justified, or normal, exaggerated, and so forth. Have you ever been accused of being extravagant with your love for Christ? That would be a good thing to be accused of, I think, wouldn't it? Sometimes we need to struggle to make that point clear. Mary's deep love and gratitude for Jesus was not carefully planned out. She did it more or less out of the spur of the moment. She didn't have to concoct a scheme or a plan to do this. She did it willingly. She did it without implications from someone else. Her love is full to overflowing. It's spontaneous. Spontaneous love is the best kind of love, isn't it? If you have to plan out this love thing, usually it doesn't plan out too good, does it? Something goes wrong. You might say the wrong thing. Someone might take it the wrong way. Mary's extravagance was an act of courage. Was an act of deep understanding. She was understanding what was going to happen. How did she do that? You think she knew it at the time, but she knew something was changing. Something was going to be different. Mary, who should have been in the kitchen, was out center stage. She was breaking the roles of power of women in that day. The influence, her leadership. Mary had the courage to express who she really was. The person she was. She was brave enough to do it. I hope we are given the chance. But you know what Mary did foreshadowed what Jesus himself was about to do. Do you think Jesus copied Mary in this? I think that's why he accepted it with such a humbleness. She was a true disciple of Jesus. She was willing to live her life in humble service to others. It's kind of contradictory to what we live our lives today, in humble service to others. But we want to be on the top of the heap. How are we serving those at the bottom of the heap? As we struggle to get ahead in life, are we stepping on those beneath us to get there? Or are we just not caring and we're caring only about ourselves? So that day, Mary poured out the perfume. The house was full of this fragrance. It was beautiful. It was joy-filled. It was to let the others know. Hindsight being 20/20, I bet those in the room that day said, "Wow, what about this Mary? Did you remember what she did the other day? Do you remember her extravagance?" Not only that, but something provided the perfume. You ever think of that part of the story? Where did that come from? Where did a year's salary come from? In a jar of perfume. I'm sure they were living rather meagerly, but all of a sudden pops up a jar of perfume worth 1 year's wages. Who provided that in the story? God does. The gift that was provided that day, not unlike the gift we have today. Jesus just keeps on giving, doesn't he? He just keep. Can you outgive God?
No.
We can't do it. We can't outdo God. Outgive God. We can't. So as we celebrate Holy Communion today, I want us to remember Mary's extravagance. And in the same way, Jesus' extravagance towards us. What he gave of himself for us. I'm not worthy. I don't know about you. Some of you are pretty good people. Some of you hate. But you know what? None of us are quite good enough. I look back here to choir. I'm going to leave you now. Sometimes Nancy says, you don't look at the choir enough. All right, you're not good enough. Now, does she look so great now, do you? Huh? Yeah. Right? See, now I'm chopping down my wife. See, she came and gifted you all last week, and now I'm chopping her up. Because somewhere I heard, you know what? They may be able to get her eaten now. She said, no. We are celebrating the gift of Jesus Christ today in this communion. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the example of Mary to us today. Father, no greater gift than to give more than we have for you. To give all we are. To give all who we are to the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your blessing upon us today as we celebrate Holy Communion. Father, we love you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear this invitation. Love him. Come to the Lord's table. Confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table. Be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. There are some readings to go along with this today, so join me, please. Lord, help our unbelief. We have stained our souls by our action and inaction.
Cleanse us, Lord.
We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves.
Heal us, Lord.
We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth.
Ground us, Lord.
When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are all forgiven. Glory to God.
By one Spirit, we are all baptized into the one body. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to you, Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to praise you, Lord.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of
power of the Spirit, you created all things. Bless them and call them good. You call to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. We wandered from the way. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time, you came and dwelt among us, as one of us bringing good news to the poor. healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the common bread and he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, with the cup after the meal had been served as was custom, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, "Bless this, for this is my blood poured out in the new covenant." Jesus was telling us of the new covenant to be made with God through him. "Take and drink, for this is for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for me." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of our faith, Christ has come among us. Christ is high. Christ has risen. Christ lies with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us.
Pour out your Spirit
on these gifts.
Pour out your Spirit on these gifts.
Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ.
Make us through them Christ's body and blood in the world.
Abba, Father.
Let your kingdom come.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Come, Lord Jesus.
We are daily bread.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Holy Spirit.
Send us to the world.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Holy Blessed Trinity.
One God forever.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
And now with the confidence of the children of God, we pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
To go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of ours have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see. Blessing and honor and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," 451, projected. Receive this benediction. Holy Father, thank you, Father, for sending your Son to us. Let us now be the light in the world that we are called to be. Through the preparations of our hearts and minds, let us go forth as Mary and live out our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.